Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Sunday Gathering, a time to connect with Creator through prayer and reflection. Each week, the clergy of the Community Catholic Church of Canada gather to worship together, and we invite you to join us. We are an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Anglican Roman Catholic tradition. And now, let's prepare our hearts for worship and create sacred space to be blessed by God. Good morning and welcome to our service of worship on this third Sunday of Easter. Our homilist today is Archdeacon Liz Labazou. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
May his grace and peace be with you.
May he fill our hearts with joy.
Almighty God,
to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Glory to God in the highest.
And peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High. Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. We ask you for your forgiveness and your unlimited mercy to embrace us and restore us with grace for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by the Holy Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. This is the collect of the day for the third Sunday of Easter. O God, your Son made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of bread. Open the eyes of our faith that we may see him in his redeeming work, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Acts, chapter 9, beginning at the 9th verse. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" And the reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was out without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up, go into the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so he may regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man and how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying, He is the Son of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed between the lections is Psalm 30. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried for you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those who've gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you had established me as a strong mountain. You hid your face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the death praise you? Will it tell you of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing, and you have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. God, our Father, glorious in giving and restoring life, do not hide your face from your people overcome with loneliness and fear. Turn our mourning into dancing and raise us up with your Son, that we may rejoice in your presence forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 5, beginning with the 11th verse. When I looked and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne and the living creatures and the elders, they numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with full voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing, To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the fourth living creature said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel, John 21, 1-19. The Lord be with you, and also with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. All glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, We will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, Children, you have no fish, have you? They answered him, No. He said to them, Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them, and though there were many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go to wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he could glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord, we thank you for the gift of the word. As we think on these things, open our hearts and our minds to hear you. Amen. Good morning. This is the third Sunday after Easter. Today's sermon is on the Gospel of John. Last week's sermon was based on Jesus' resurrection, his second visit with the disciples, and the one with Thomas. And I think I can safely say that Thomas had his own resurrection that day. So let's just quickly see what resurrection means. 1, the rising of Christ from the dead. 2, the state of one risen from the dead. And the synonyms, rebirth, regeneration, renewal, revival, and rehabilitation. So today we look at another one of Jesus' disciples, Simon Peter. He wasn't mentioned in last week's gospel. Last week, we read the disciples were locked up in their home, either from the fear of the Lord, fear of the Jews, or the uncertainty about their future and their lives. This week, Peter is the main character in today's scripture. Let's think about all that he has experienced over the past few weeks. We'll begin with the Passover meal, where Peter is sitting at the table with Jesus and the other disciples. Jesus gets up, and without a word of explanation, he takes a towel in the basin and begins to wash the disciples' feet. Most are left speechless, as they have never seen anything like this before, especially from Jesus. He is the Messiah, the leader, and the teacher. He should not be acting like a servant. He should be served by those around him. Now, when Jesus comes to Peter, he is not silent. Peter at first refuses to let Jesus wash his feet because it's just not proper. But when Jesus tells him that it is an entry right into his kingdom, then Peter wants it all, his feet and his head as well. While still at the table, the shocking events continue. Jesus goes on to challenging them all, saying, "One of you will betray me." All, even Peter, asked tentatively, "Is it I?" Peter knew that he would not deliberately betray Jesus, but being as impulsive as he is, he could be the one to betray Jesus without even meaning it. Jesus also tells him that they will all run away and leave him. Now we know what happens with Peter. Even though he tells Jesus that he would never betray him, Jesus responds by saying, "You, of the 12, will deny ever knowing me three times before sunrise tomorrow." Now, was there any time that you might have wondered about how you or we would betray our allegiance to Jesus? You know those times when we are with family and friends and standing up for our faith would be inconvenient? Our actions can be a type of betrayal. Again, we know the rest of the story up until Jesus' crucifixion. Where was Peter at the time of the crucifixion? Did he even see it? We don't know, but we do know that after a couple of days later, we do find him with the other disciples, hiding behind the locked doors, scared of the uncertainty of their future. We do know that on Sunday morning, when Mary comes running back to where the disciples are held and tells them that Jesus' tomb was opened, and he has disappeared, and that it is Peter and John who run back to the tomb to see for themselves. They return filled with questions, and then Mary comes back again, talking about how she has just seen the Lord. Now, what does that mean for Peter? Is it good news that Jesus is alive, or challenging news because Jesus will remind him of his betrayal? We don't know how Peter felt, but that evening he sees the risen Lord when Jesus comes to them. We hear nothing about his response for that evening or for the subsequent times a week later when he appears again and challenges Thomas to have faith. After all of this, what does Peter do? Well, when life gets difficult and we become lost, confused, and afraid, and when the changes of life are not what we wanted or think we deserve, we tend to run away. We try to go back to the way it was before, to something safer, familiar, our comfort zone. We may even go back to our old patterns of behavior and thinking. Even when we know better and do not want to go backwards, it seems easier than moving forward. Simon Peter, Thomas, John, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two other disciples have returned back home, back to the Sea of Tiberias, the place where it all began. The empty tomb, the cross, the house with its locked doors, the discipleship are some 80 miles to the south. They have all gone back to fishing, back to the same boat, same water, same work. Now that's when Jesus showed himself. That first night back on the water, they catch nothing. Sounds familiar, almost too familiar. They are hard at work all night and nothing to show for it. The disciples have hit their lowest point. For Peter, this must have felt awful. He failed as a disciple, and he's failed at fishing. It seems as if nothing is coming Peter's way. How can he go on living this way and carry on? The dark night was over, and dawn was on the horizon. They had lost everything they cared about. They were ashamed of themselves and had caught no fish. But Jesus was there. That's all that mattered. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, and when Peter recognized him, after John had realized that it was Jesus telling them to fish off the right side of the boat, and lo and behold, their net was full of fish, and 153 as we know. Peter jumps into the water and heads for the shore towards Jesus. That's all he needed to know. You can say that old Peter is back, the irrational, erratic, spontaneous Peter. But when Peter gets to the shore, he doesn't say anything. The disciples followed in their boat, and when they all got to shore, Jesus had a fire going with fish on it and some bread. Jesus called to them to come and have breakfast with him and gave them the bread and the fish to eat. He wasn't mad at them or disappointed. After all, he did make them breakfast. Do you see the grace and love in it all? Do you see God, our Creator, doing what he does the best? Loving his creation no matter what. We also see that Peter needed Jesus to graciously reach out to him, not to confront or rebuke him. Peter needs Jesus to rehabilitate him, to forgive him, and to make him new again and again. And then we have one of the most spectacular interchanges in the Bible. When they have finished eating, Jesus asks Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon replied, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Jesus asked for the second and third time. And the most remarkable thing about it is that every time Peter confesses his love for Jesus, Jesus gives him a job to do. Every time the question was asked and answered, Jesus gives Peter a fresh command, a challenge, a new exciting commission. "Peter, it's time to learn to be a shepherd. It's time to feed lambs and sheep and to look after them." Three times a while ago, Peter denied Jesus. And now Jesus forgives Peter. And that is what is happening here. Peter is being restored, being resurrected. Forgiveness means forgetting the past and starting over again. Not only is Jesus trusting Peter to get back to work, Jesus is sharing his own work, his own ministry with Peter. Looking back at how Peter felt before the dawn, he would have never guessed that God would be so lavish in pouring out love on him, especially knowing it was nothing that he deserved or earned. And here's the Christianity for you, for me, for Peter, for everyone. If any of us are going to do a single solitary thing as a follower and a servant of Christ, this is what it is built on. Somewhere, deep down inside of us, there is a love for Jesus. And even though perhaps you and I and Peter and others have let him down many times, Jesus wants to find that love and to give us a chance to express it, to heal the hurt and the failure of our past, and give you and me new work to do, which brings us life and life to the full. Folks, in this room, do you love Jesus? If so, feed the lambs. Members of the Community Catholic Church, do you love Jesus? If so, take care of his sheep. People who are listening today, do you love Jesus? If so, feed Jesus' sheep and follow him. And you, like Peter, will go from strength to strength. You may mess up at times, but you will become shepherds. You will feed Jesus' lambs, and you will look after Jesus' sheep. No one can ask for more, and Jesus will never ask for less. So now, dear friends, I ask you, what does Peter's life and his actions say to you on this side of Easter? Jesus went out to find Peter again. He went to restore him, to forgive him, and God's grace flowed abundantly on that seaside beach. Jesus will always find us, no matter where we are that day, because he stands in the midst of us. Peter is me. He is you and he is us. This is true up until a certain point, because the actual denial of Peter can never be repeated. Yet I know that we will all deny the Lord in our own way. God's grace flows abundantly to me, to you, to each of us, to all who believe in Lord Jesus Christ, accepting him as our Savior, to all who are called lambs, sheep, and who all follow the shepherd's voice. Christ came into this world. He emptied himself and became nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death on the cross. He did that for Peter, for you, and for me. We have all stumbled and fallen at times in our lives. We have perhaps gotten stuck in a hole and can't get out, or maybe we don't even want to. Remember, Jesus is reaching out to all of us to help pick us up, to clean us, to empower us. And then he says, "Follow me." His grace flows into us as forgiveness and healed people, ready to bring him glory, ready to be his lights and a voice in the world, just like Peter. Each of us have fallen, and each of us needs to be forgiven by Jesus, but also by the ones we have offended. If you want to live like Jesus, or to use the common phrase, "What would Jesus do?" go find the person that you have offended and ask them, "Do you love me?" Wait, watch, and then forgive, and grow like Peter in the light of our risen Savior. Amen.
In joy and hope, let us pray to the source of all life, saying, "Hear us, Lord of glory." That our risen Savior may fill us with the joy of his holy and life-giving resurrection, let us pray to the Lord.
Hear us, Lord of glory.
that isolated and persecuted churches may find fresh strength in the Easter Gospel, let us pray to the Lord.
Hear us, Lord of glory.
That he may grant us humility to be subject to one another in Christian love, let us pray to the Lord.
Hear us, Lord of glory.
That he may provide for those who lack food, work, or shelter, let us pray to the Lord.
Hear us, Lord of glory.
That by his power, wars and famine may cease through all the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Hear us, Lord of glory.
That he may reveal the light of his presence to the sick, the weak, and the dying, especially Shane, Philip, Doug, Ruth, Carol Ann, Laura, Jim, Sherry, Mary, Christian, James, Dave, Al, Gary, and Cecile, that they may be comforted and strengthened, let us pray to the Lord.
Hear us, Lord of glory.
That he may send the fire of the Holy Spirit upon all his people, that we may bear faithful witness to his resurrection, let us pray to the Lord.
Hear us, Lord of glory.
Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplications to you, and you have promised through your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together, you will hear their requests. Fulfill now our desires and petitions as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth and in the age to come eternal life. For you, Father, are good and loving, and we glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Linked by spirit, voice, and intention, we are wrapped in the love of God, all one in spirit, beyond the limits of time and space. Around the world at this very moment, countless prayers are being lifted, songs of praise are being offered, bread and wine is being blessed to nurture God's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God, and we give thanks that we too are spiritually fed in this time of worship. Lord Jesus, you call us to follow you. We love you above all things, and we give thanks that you transform our hearts with your love. Embrace each of us now. Unite us to you in this time of worship and each moment of our day. We give thanks that we are all fashioned by your love, gifted by your grace, upheld by your loving presence. May the blessings that we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessings in the world. Amen.
May we be the hands of Christ, assisting one another. May we be the voice of Christ, speaking up against injustice and unloving actions. May we be the heart of Christ, reaching out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ and see all as our brother and sister, and this planet as a sacred and holy world. And may the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.
Go forth in the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us this day for our time of worship. If you have a prayer request, please send it along to communitycatholicchurch@gmail.com. If you'd like to make a financial donation to help support our ministry, please visit the website at www.communitycatholicchurch.com. Join us next week at 10:30 a.m. for the next Sunday gathering. Blessings to you in the name of our God of love.